Saving my soul. thy great salvation, so full and free.
A vessel of honor in your house. In your house. I want to preach this morning a very important message. Thank you, musicians and singers. Done a good job. Hallelujah. Go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. The book of Ephesians, chapter 2. We'll go to verse 14, if we might. Verse 14. I want you to hear the word of the Lord this morning, because the message I have is truly, truly important. Extremely and very important. I'm preaching it because I expected everybody in this family to be here. I really did. And I believe it is especially for every member of this family. So I hope I can get the truth of it to them. I'm preaching on Jesus Christ, Lord of all. Jesus Christ, Lord of all. The book of Ephesians 2:14. Let's read together. Got your Bible in hand. Keep it, please, in hand, because we will keep going back to it. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in our inordinances, for to make of himself and in himself a new man, of twain one new man. Of twain, one new man. Now that's his purpose. So making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereof. And came, preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we have accessed by one Spirit into the Father, or unto the Father. Now there no more, we are no more strangers and foreigners. Listen, now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners. Are you hearing that? No more strangers and foreigners. No more strangers and foreigners. No, no, not at all. Not at all. We must get that truth into our heart. But fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone. Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. That's what the church is supposed to be. A holy temple in the Lord, a holy place, a sacred place, in whom also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Jesus Christ, Lord of all. Jesus Christ, Lord of all. Would you mind saying those words with Brother Chambers? Jesus Christ, Lord of all. Father, help me now. I'm needing anointing of the Holy Ghost. This message is of extreme importance. Could not be more important, Lord. And I need your help. I need your help in the name of Jesus. You may be seated. Now listen carefully. Listen carefully. If you really want to know something about the Bible and something about the Lordship of God the Father and God the Son, they both are Lord. You see their names interchanged all through the scripture. And I discovered just today that the word Lord is in the Bible 6,781 times. The word Lord in the Bible, 6,781 times. What does that say about your Bible? Your Bible is saying to you, he is Lord of all. Your Bible is saying to you, he is Lord of all. Sometimes it was spelled with a little L and sometimes a capital L. Sometimes the whole word, L-O-R-D, was four capital letters, depending on the Father or the Son, or whether it was an adjective or a noun, different reasons for the interchange. But in every case, it still meant Lord. And the word Lord means the Master, the final voice, the final one. No questions asked. God the Father and God the Son are Lord of your Bible. They are Lord of this earthly place where we dwell. They are Lord over the entire universe. And the last scripture I will read for you this morning makes it plain that He is Lord of all. He exalts one and puts down another. He is the Lord of this universe. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He is truly and surely the Master. Now, He will either be the Master of your life, and He will be that fully, or He's not going to be Master at all. We often say He's either Lord of all, or He is not Lord at all. He is either Lord of all, or He is not Lord at all. You are mistaken when you say the word Lord to Him, unless you are living under His Lordship. I said you are mistaken when you say the word Lord to Him, unless you're living under His Lordship. If you are in charge of your life, then He is not Lord of your life. If you make your decisions according to your fleshly desires and your worldly appetites, then He's not Lord of all. The Bible says you cannot even say, I'm going to town Saturday, if you have not inquired it of Him. He says you must say, if the Lord will, I'm going to town Saturday. If the Lord will, I'm going to a certain restaurant this Friday night. If the Lord will, I'm going to do this on the next weekend. If the Lord will, I'll be here, I'll be there. No, my friend, He is either Lord of all, or He is not Lord at all. Can I this morning do my best to preach to you about this Lordship of Jesus Christ? Can I do that? Can I, with all my heart, can you think of a married couple that Jesus is Lord of their marriage, and what a happy marriage that will be? Can you think of a family where Jesus is the Lord of that family, mom and dad and son and daughter, however the family may be made up? When He's the Lord of that family, that's going to be a blessed family. When He's Lord of your marriage, that's going to be a blessed marriage. When He's Lord of your job, of your business, Lord of your lifestyle, Lord of your church attendance, Lord of everything about you, it's going to be sweet, it's going to be real, and it's going to be right. For He is either Lord of all, or He is not Lord at all. Now, I want to talk about several places and areas that we must come to understand Him as Lord. If you do not get it in your mind and heart, the way in which He is Lord of your life, all my preaching is not going to do any good. I've been on many people about faithful in church attendance, and they treat it no different than they did before I opened my mouth. I've been on people about all kinds of things as a shepherd, as a pastor, trying to teach them the exact way of the Lord. But it don't work until they make Him Lord. When they make Him Lord, it won't matter what Brother Chambers says. It'll be right. It'll be right. Because when you make Him Lord, He's in control. He's in charge. And if there is a desperate need, that is that desperate need, that He become the Lord of your life. Now, I want to deal with several areas in which He must become Lord. Number one. He must become Lord in the wisdom of words. He must become Lord in the wisdom of words. The Bible said, never a man spake like this man. That's what the Bible says. Never. And it wasn't even said by a believer. It was said by an unbeliever, by a soldier man who had been sent from the temple to take Jesus. And he made a mistake. Instead of arresting him immediately, he lingered and listened to him. Heard what he had to say. And came back to those who sent him and said, never a man spake like this man. I want to tell you something. He's Lord of all wisdom. He's Lord of all truth. He's Lord of all theology. He's Lord of all the great teachings that will make people's lives great. He's the Lord of wisdom. He is the Lord of the wisdom of words. And I really like that. When you begin to think about him as being Lord of all truth, then all these things that come into your brain, all these things that fill your mind, all these words you think about, all these little cute sayings you hear, they begin to mean nothing unless they agree with the wisdom of God. It's the wisdom of God that makes your life wonderful. Let me take you to one of the most beautiful places in the Bible. Really great stuff, great material. The book of Matthew, chapter 5. Jesus was on the Mount of Olives. I'm sorry, not the Mount of Olives. He was on the Mount of Revelation. I forget what the mountain was even called. But he was on a mountain with his children, with his disciples, with his children, with the spiritual children of his life. And he was teaching them some ultimate things called the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes, the Mount of Beatitudes was what we would call it. Now listen to this. The book of Matthew 5 and 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now I could spend a while there, because the statement that you see there is so breathtaking and yet so ignored by the world today. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That eliminates all haughtiness. That eliminates all this the best for yourself. That eliminates all the height of human wisdom that people can get caught up in and brings it right down to where the rubber meets the road. I'm here to tell you, only the wisdom of his words will change your life. Oh, the wisdom of his words. The exhortation of his words, the things he said. The Bible is full of this. The reason I told you how many times the word Lord is in the Bible, I want you to see the whole Bible as exactly what it is. It is the Lord of all literature. It is the Lord of all instruction. It is the Lord of all human understanding. It is the Lord of all thinking. It is the Lord of all that matters in this life, of the wisdom of words. We live in a world where wisdom and words are just going everywhere, flying like arrows in the night. But I'm here to tell you, this is it. This is the Lord of wisdom right here. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now you take those truths that I read to you quickly, and you go home and you get in the middle of them. And you say, now here are the wisdom of words. Here are the wisdom of human understanding. Here are the words of human intellect. Here are the words that really describe what you are. Right down in the beginning of all your understanding, these words are God's words. And the Bible is full of this. He is absolutely the Lord of all truth. He is absolutely the Lord of all wisdom. He is absolutely the Lord of all theology. He is absolutely the Lord of all human understanding. Are you getting the message? Are you understanding that you need to quit reading books that have human wisdom written all over them? I've had people say to me, if you just read the book I give you, it'd make a Calvinist out of you. And I say back to them, if you'll just read the Bible I read, it'll make a believer out of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can read human books. I know people right now who are all involved in reading human books and learning more and more about some theologian's opinion. And what is it doing? It's making them religious, but it's not making them Christ-like. See, theology of man will make you wise in human thinking. It'll make you religious in human action, but it won't make you Christ-like in human conduct. The Bible will make you Christ-like in human conduct. Are you listening to me? He's exalted in wisdom. He's exalted in the words of knowledge. He's exalted in all human understanding. He's exalted in all that will make your life rich and wonderful and deep and profound and mighty. The wisdom of the Lord is the essence of human understanding. The Bible makes it plain. The fear of God begins with the understanding and wisdom of God. Hallelujah. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God is the beginning of understanding. Are you getting the message? Are you understanding? He's the Lord of all human understanding. Now, not only is the Lord of all human understanding, He is Lord of all righteousness. He is Lord of all righteousness. My Bible makes it very plain that unless you are made righteous in the blood of Jesus Christ, you are not righteous except in your own flesh. You're not righteous but in your own abilities. Oh, the Bible makes it plain that self-righteousness is nothing but empty feelings and empty emotions. It's the righteousness of the Lord that will change you and make you usable to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not by the righteousness of men, but by the righteousness of the Lord. Not by the sacrifice of human doings, but by the sacrifice of Calvary's tree. Hallelujah. It is the blood. It is the blood that makes you holy. How many can say, I want to be righteous by the blood of Jesus? I want to be righteous by the blood of Jesus. I want to be righteous in the purity of His name and His nature and His power. Hallelujah. So God is exalted only in righteousness. And the only righteousness worthy of your attention is the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I want to be pure in Him. I want to be pure in Him. I hear people talking about, I want to live right. I got to live right. I want to do better. I want to start living cleaner. I want to start living more pure. Let me tell you something. You get under His righteousness. You get washed in His blood. You get your whole being dependent on the righteousness of Christ. And you will be righteous because He will make you righteous. And you will stay righteous because He will keep you righteous. And you will go on in righteousness because He will stand by you and keep you every day and every hour. Oh, hallelujah. Righteous in the likeness and in the nature of His Lordship. If He's Lord of my life, you know what? If He's Lord of your life, you don't have to worry about doing bad things. You won't be able to get away with it. And you won't even want it. Hallelujah. I don't want nothing that devil's got. How many can say I don't want nothing he's got? I don't want nothing he's got. I want to live holy. I want to live clean. I want to live righteous. Hallelujah. Now, he's not only the exalted Lord of all human wisdom and the exalted Lord of all righteousness. He's the exalted Lord of all resurrected living. All resurrected living. You know, this life is really a wonderful life. The Christian life is actually a joy. I mean, when you really get under the Lordship of Christ, you don't want nothing else. When you really get under the Lordship of Christ, anything else to you just seems like an empty road and an empty thought, because there's just something so real about the righteousness of Christ. Oh, hallelujah. The resurrection of Christ. Go with me to John 11, 23. John 11, 23. I want you to make sure that you understand this wonderful life. It is so sweet. Right, John 11, 23. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Oh, that's good news. A sister with a brother that's now in the tomb. He's been dead 4 days. He's been dead 4 days. And Jesus says, thy brother shall rise again. But Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise in the resurrection at the last day. Oh, yeah. I see it down the road. I see it in the future. I see it somewhere down the pathway. But Jesus stops her. I want you to hear what he said in verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. That's not something 100 years down the road. That's not something 20 years of future when the rapture takes place, or a year future, whenever it may be. That's not something you look forward to way off in the future. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, that's something about his lordship that really, really makes an impact if you come to understand it. Right now, he is my resurrected life. Hallelujah. I'm still got this old human body. I still have to deal with some of the pain and some of the thoughts that go with human life. But I know something is working inside of me called resurrected life. I know that something is taking place inside of me that's exciting, that's thrilling. It helps me overcome. It helps me rise above my pain. It helps me handle my difficulties. It helps me rise above all my doubts and my fears, because I've got resurrected life inside of me. Hallelujah. I went to the graveyard last night, as I've done each week, to pay my love to Mom and let her know, and take a bundle of flowers, put them on a grave, and I enjoyed doing that. And I left there just a squalling. I mean, just a squalling. I guess I got to quit. But coming down the road, I began to pray and began to talk to God. Came on to church. It was what, 8 o'clock? I guess something like that. And came on in the house of God. And before I knew it, the Holy Ghost was moving up and down the avenues of my soul. And he was lifting me over my loss. He was lifting me over my pain. He was lifting me over all the heartbreak that I felt. Hallelujah. And I feel that resurrection right now. Hallelujah. I'm alive, and I'm alive forevermore. I'm alive until he comes to get me. Hallelujah. Somebody help me. Ah, hallelujah. I am, he said, the resurrection and the life. I got to read on. You got to see the rest of that verse. This is powerful material. We're talking about the Lord. The Lord. The Lord of everything. The Lord of everything. The Lord of life. Hallelujah. And he said, listen again. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost reminded me that Sister Chambers was past the point of pain. And she was shouting with the glories and the blessings of heaven, that all of that was past and over. Hallelujah. And then he reminded me, though I was still alive, the same resurrection she had, I had. Hallelujah. And that right now, I'm alive in the resurrected life of Jesus Christ. And something is bouncing up and down inside of me. It is in Joe Chambers, Brother Charles. It's the life of Jesus Christ, which I have, because he's the Lord of all my life. He's not just the Lord of a little bit of me. He's the Lord of all of me. Amen. Oh, somebody's got to help me. Raise your right hand up, will you? Father, let that resurrection life grip this congregation. Let us live in the power of the resurrection. Those that are home this morning and have no business being at home, let the resurrected life just shake them in their very seats or their bed or wherever they are. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's the Lord of life right now. He's the Lord of the resurrection right now. How many are living in the resurrection? Let me see your hand. Are you really living in the resurrection? Some people raise their hand when they really aren't. I'll know tonight when church time comes. You say, Brother Chambers, do you really mean it? Yes, I mean that. If anybody that misses church on Sunday night is already partly backslid. Not quite, but partly. Is that too hard? It won't be when Jesus becomes the Lord of your life. It won't be when you make up your mind to quit playing games about it. It won't be when you make up your mind that I'm totally his, and I'm going to be his and nobody else's, and I don't care what life comes. I know. I understand. I understand, brother and sister Beatty. There's no question about that. They're with mother, and that's where they ought to be. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about carelessness. We're talking about casualness. We're talking about selfish living. We're talking about so many things out there this world's got offering us that we don't have time to be fully God's. You make him Lord of all. He'll be Lord of all day and all night and all week and all month. Hallelujah. The resurrection of life. The resurrection of life. That's what resurrection is. It's eternal life. Is it working me right now? You say, Brother Chambers, are you going to die? No. I may go to sleep. That's what death is called in the Bible. It ain't called dead. It's called sleep. It's hard to say sometimes, isn't it? Great. I'm learning how tough it is to say. I really am. I'm learning how tough it is. But it's okay. I'm going to learn it right. I'm going to learn it well. And I'm going to pour it on you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Until you learn it just like I'm learning it. Because he is my resurrection and life. He is my resurrection and life. I live by the resurrection of life that flows up and down the avenues of my soul. I felt it all morning. I felt it all during the night. Hallelujah. I feel it even when I'm crying. I know there's resurrection and there's life. And it's wonderful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's exalted in the victory over sin. Now we're talking about the Lordship of Christ. He's Lord over everything about me. And he's Lord over the temptations of sin that come against me. I'll tell you something. Here, you better learn this. When you are having your darkest moment, it's going to be amazing the things the devil is going to try to put into your mind. Man, I'm thinking the last 2 weeks, some of the things that have come in my mind. Devil, what are you talking about? You're talking to the wrong man, devil. And I know you're making me feel it. You're making me hurt, devil. But I want you to know something, devil. He's the Lord of my life. He's the Lord of my future. He's the Lord of my eternity. He's the Lord of everything I am. He's the Lord of all of me. He's the Lord of my pocketbook. He's the Lord of my time. He's the Lord of my energy. He's the Lord of my thoughts. So you've got to make him Lord of everything. Imaginations of the flesh will get you in trouble, friend. But ain't nothing gets you in trouble quicker than this old brain loose, thinking all kinds of junk that the devil pours in. You tell him, take your wares somewhere else, devil. This mind don't belong to you. It belongs to Jesus. He's the Lord of my mind. Have a laying your hand up here on your noggin, will you? This is your head, noggin. Lay your hand up there. Oh, I bet you never heard that word noggin before, have you? That's an old-fashioned one. But let's lay your hand up there on your noggin and say, devil, what I think ain't none of your business. You're not going to rule my mind. You're not going to rule my thoughts. I'm going to keep them pure. I'm going to live in the great truths of the Bible. I'm going to quote the Bible day and night. I'm going to trust the words of God. I'm going to live in the power of the truth. I'm not going to let you walk through the courses of my brain, devil. So take your wares and go somewhere else. Is anybody saying that to the devil? Oh, hallelujah. He's the Lord of my mind. He's the Lord of my mind. Oh, I need a whole point on that one. But I just about covered it when I said he's the Lord of all wordy wisdom and all words. But it goes further than that. We live in a world that has come under the shadow and the blanket of the Antichrist. All you got to do is look at a little bit of news and you see it everywhere. All you got to do is walk down the road, go to the grocery store, go into a shopping mall, and you can feel that old spirit, that old Antichrist thing. Well, listen, you live in the power of the resurrection, and you can reject it, and you can push it out of your mind, and you can go on with God and live a life of victory and joy in the Holy Ghost. I got to read to you a scripture, too, in the book of Romans. I love these scriptures. Romans chapter 6. Oh, we're talking about victory over sin. The Lord is exalted with victory over sin. He has stripped sin of every bit of its power. He has stripped sin of every bit of its death. He has stripped sin of every bit of its consequence. He has stripped sin of every bit of the hell that goes with sin. And he's made it so and such that you can live in victory over sin if you'll just let him be the Lord of your life. People get in trouble with their temptations when they're not living in the Lordship of Christ. You only get in trouble with temptation when you're not living in the Lordship of Christ. If you're living in His Lordship, you can overcome sin as quick as you can snap your finger. Woo! Somebody help me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me read it to you. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid! How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, what makes you dead to sin? The Lordship of Jesus Christ. Nothing else will make you dead to sin but the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. Until He rules your life. Until you quit getting up in the morning and trying to decide how you're going to live on that given day and what you're going to do and where you're going and if you're going to yield to this thought or that thought or that thought, if you'll quit letting that occur in your life and you'll simply start every day with what is God's will for me today. You won't be late at church. You won't be late to sing in the choir. You won't be late to do the things that God's called you to do when you get under His Lordship and you live fully under His mastery. Everything of your life will start working orderly and rightly and purely and holy. And it takes that. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many as are baptized into Jesus Christ are baptized into His death? That's Lordship. That's what it means to be baptized into His death. It means you've come under the Lordship of Christ. That's all it means. It's very simple. Being baptized into His death is not dying here. It's dying to those things that you have no right to mess with. Woo, somebody help me preach. Hallelujah. I want some more folks here to hear what I'm saying. Hallelujah. But I can't worry about that now. I just want you to hear it. Live in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Quit living careless. Quit living a shabby life. Quit living an uncommitted life. Quit living a careless life. And come under His total Lordship. And let Him be in charge of everything. Charge of everything. Brother Chambers, you act like I ought to ask God what He wants me to buy in the store. You better believe I do. You're fixing to buy a car? You are an idiot if you go buy one without getting God's hand upon it. You'll get stuck to the gills. I know. I've been there. Get excited about some pretty car. Man, that's pretty. I think I'll just buy that. Don't take time to ask God nothing. Down the road, it becomes a lemon. And you wonder, what in the world? Why? How did I wind up with this thing? Because you didn't take time to talk to God. If you're fixing to buy a house, you get God's hand on it. You're fixing to go on vacation, you make sure you're going where God would have you to go. I don't care what you got planned. You make sure God's in charge of that plan. You make sure you pray, acknowledge the Lord in all thy ways, and He shall direct thy path. Can you quote that with me? Acknowledge the Lord in all thy ways. Why did He tell us that? Because He wants us under His Lordship. It's a simple statement about the Lordship of Christ. That you seek His will in everything. You seek His will in everything. 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 When I was facing all the expense of a funeral, I began to pray. Would you believe the day she was buried, everything was paid. And I'm amazed. I'm still amazed at where it all came from and how it all came in. And how everything was met. And how God was just so sovereign. Hey, He's everything you need. Are you listening to me? Are you willing to make Him the Lord of your life? Let me see your hand. If you're willing to really make Him. Come on, raise it way up high. I mean, raise it up there where you can shake it a little bit. I want to see it. Make Him the Lord of everything. Make Him the Lord over all you are. Make Him the Lord of every decision you make. Make Him the Lord of every thought you have. Make Him the Lord of everything you buy. Make Him the Lord of everywhere you spend your time. Make Him the Lord of all. Woo, He knows what He's doing, and He'll take care of you. Oh, He knows what He's doing, and He'll take care of you. It is sweet. It is rich. It is wonderful to trust only in the Lord. Now, He is exalted in all miracles and wonders. Did you know that? God is a God looking for the place to show you a miracle. God is watching for the place to show you his imminent power. God is watching. Go with me to St. John. Oh, there's so many scriptures and all these thoughts that I'm bringing to you. It's amazing to me to just realize how great is the word of the Lord. How great is the word of the Lord. John chapter 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on the works that I do shall do the same. He that believeth on the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now that's especially good for Brother Joe and Brother Dylan and Brother Derek and Brother Marlon and Brother Chambers, but that's really good for everybody. If God is using, if you will learn to live in the Lordship of Christ, you're going to be amazed at the kind of supernatural things that God begins to use you to accomplish. You're going to be amazed at the kind of supernatural things that God's going to work in your life. I'll never forget standing at a wedding where there were some people who believed that the name Jesus was a bad name, was a heathen name. And so I said to this lady, why did they only say Yeshua and Yahweh, and I didn't hear the name Jesus tonight? She said, don't you know that name Jesus is a terrible name? It's a false name. It's a pagan name. I said, lady, I've seen demons run because I call that name. I never forget one time down in Santo Domingo. Brother Mathis was there. Sister Mathis. Of course, Brother Garcia was there. And we went off into a village. And it was one dark place. The storm had took out all their lights. They were living in what looked like horse and cattle shelters. And it was a terrible place. And all we had was one light over our heads that they somehow got connected with. And we were having church. And you could feel hell in the air. I mean, the devil was walking up and down that whole group. And I'll never forget, I was ready to preach. I'd got this thought together in my mind of what I was going to preach. And when I stood up to preach, that thought was gone. And the Holy Ghost just took over. And I said, you know, there's a devil in this place tonight. And he's walking through this place determined to defeat us. And I said, devil, in the name of Jesus, I'm come here against you. And I'm binding your hellish powers. And I'm commanding you to hush your mouth and back up. And I preached the word with anointing of the Holy Ghost and gave an altar call. And some men start dragging a woman up the side to bring her up in front of me. And I thought to myself, why are they dragging her? She needs to come on her own. And the Holy Ghost rebuked me instantly and said she couldn't come on her own. And I realized then I was dealing with demons. They brought her in front of me. And I said to the woman, can you repeat the name of Jesus? And she went hysterical. I mean, she fell to the ground and began to wallow. I never seen such demon activity. Brother Garcia came right up beside me. We laid hands on that woman, and in about 10 seconds, those devils were gone. And she stood up, and I said, now can you say the name of Jesus? And she said, Jesus, Jesus. And sweetness began to fill the atmosphere. Then here came her husband, and he come up and got saved. And I want to tell you something. The devil don't have a chance in front of the name of Jesus. You make him the Lord of your life. You live every day of your life under his lordship. You walk in complete and total obedience to him. You spend much time on your face in prayer and fasting and seeking the face of God, and the word that he did shall you do also. That's what he said. How many believe Jesus meant what he said? Come on, do you think he meant it? He said, if you believe, if you do the works that I do, the works that I do shall you do also. Come on, church, let's have miracles around this place. Let's get past these terrible moments. Let's get past these Sundays when half the congregation is not here. Let's get past these kind of Sundays. And let's get ready for a Holy Ghost breaking, a Holy Ghost saturating, a Holy Ghost might. I'm telling you, make him Lord of all. Get everything else out of your life. Oh, I'm crying out today for Jesus to become the Lord of this whole congregation. I'm crying out for Jesus to become the Lord of every one of your lives. I'm crying out for you to live this life of yours under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Go to Psalms 75:7, as I bring my message to a close. Psalm 75:7. Hallelujah. Let's read verse 6. Verse 5. Lift not up your horn on high. Speak not with a stiff neck. Woo! That sounds pretty good, don't it? This is talking to God's people. Don't lift your horn up on high. A horn is representative of your authority. Don't walk around like you're some kind of authority. Don't walk around like you're some kind of a big dude. Don't walk around like you've got some kind of might about you. I want you to know something, friend. We are helpless without his touch. We're helpless without the moving of the Holy Ghost. So he says, lift not up your horn and neither speak with a stiff lip. Oh, there's one thing about God's word. It's always mighty plain. Isn't that wonderful? The word of God's always mighty plain. I like it that way. It talks to me when he talks about it, because I want to be a broken man, a humble man. He says, promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Isn't that beautiful? Listen. He's exalted above all. Now, what is he talking about? He's even talking about the realms of political power. He's even talking about the office of president. He's even talking about the office of premier. He's talking about any office held by any man or woman on the face of this whole earth. And he says, I'm in charge of every bit of it. He says, I put down one and I set up another. You say Putin is crazy. Well, God put him there just to show how crazy Putin is and how full the whole nation of Russia is. You said our president is sure a big mouth. He sure is. And sometimes I think too big. But then again, I think God put him there to maybe turn America around a little bit. And I look all over this world of ours and I know what a mess I see. But I know also who's in charge. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Raise your hand, will you? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Can you say it with me? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I don't know which way everything's going to go, but I know who's going to have the final word, and it's God. Hallelujah. And Christ. Woo! Hallelujah! Jesus Christ, Lord of all. Jesus Christ. I've got to read a little bit from Book of Psalms, Division 2. I always love that great psalm. I want you to know this morning that Jesus is truly Lord of all. Why do the heathen rage? This is chapter 2 of Psalms 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Never has there been such power against the church. Never has the church been under such stress and strain. Or you say there's big churches with multitudes of people. That's because they're singing the devil's songs and doing the devil's business. And the devil's on the same side they're on. Or I could say they're on the same side the devil's on. But God's people, the people who really belong to Christ, the people who are fighting a good fight like we're doing our best to do. I'm telling you, if there's anything about me that's not totally the Lord's, I want to be changed. I want him to whip me into shape. I want him to make me everything he wants me to be. I don't want to be nothing but what he wants me to be. And I know one thing, when it's all over, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And that crowd of hoopers and hollerers, that crowd of big heads and big brains, all of that's going to conclude, and the people of God are going to be left standing. Anybody believe this? Bow your heads, would you? Father, I preached the word to the best of my ability this morning. I love your book with all of my heart, Lord. I love your truth. I love the things of your name, the things of your kingdom. I want you to be Lord of all, Father. I really do. I want you to be Lord of all, Father. I put this whole church family in your hands. Those that are here and those that are not here. I put them all in your hands this morning, Lord. I put them all in your hands this morning, Lord. I claim the Lordship of Christ over the Paul Creek Church family. I claim the Lordship of Christ over the Paul Creek Church family. Everybody in this building who will claim with me the Lordship of Christ over the Paul Creek family, I want you to stand. I claim the Lordship of Christ. I claim the Lordship of Christ over your family members, over my family members. I claim the Lordship of Christ over your children, your grandchildren, over your neighbors, over those who are not here this morning, those who are here. I claim the Lordship of Christ. How many of you lift up a right hand with me and help us, and let's just claim Him becoming Lord of Paul Creek Church family more profoundly than ever. God, I know. I see Coco Trepai. I can know Sundakumai. I sense your hand at work. I sense what you're trying to do among us. I sense what you're working to accomplish. And I realize that the devil hates every word of it, and hates every thought of it, and hates every help.
Higher ground and glory to God. I'm homeward bound, for He set me free. Yes, He set me free. And He broke the bonds of prison for me. And I'm glory bound by Jesus to see. For glory to God, He set me free. Goodbye to sin and things that confound. Not of this world shall turn me around. And daily I'm working, I'm praying too. And glory to God, I'm going through. For He set me free, yes, He set me free. And He broke the bonds of prison for me. And I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. For glory to God, He set me free. And goodbye to sin and things that confound. Not of this world shall turn me around. And daily I'm working and I'm praying too. And glory to God, I'm going through. For He set me free, yes, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. And I'm glory bound by Jesus to see. For glory to God, on that chorus. Oh yes, He set me free, yes, He set me free. And He broke the bonds of prison for me. And I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. For glory to God,